Team Ace, Fingen, and Donick coming at you on a Monday. We are cranking it up. Our phone and text line always open, 615-737-1025. And it's presented by and driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Don't forget, we're broadcasting for the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Fingen on vacation this week. So we are talking a lot of Titans training camp as they transition into pads for the first time. And we're looking forward to seeing what happens this week. We'll be all over the training camp coverage, and it's presented by Macero in 12 South and Parman Energy Group. All right, D-Mace.
Yes.
We love the wide receiver translator on this show, and we got some really good perspective on what a couple of veteran wide receivers are seeing from Cam Ward, and we thought it was interesting. Now, David, I forgot to double check with you on this, but which one do you have ready first? We have Calvin Ridley, and we have Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett ready.
Okay, so Tyler Lockett did a great interview with Chase and Big Joe, and it was short and sweet, like it should be after a training camp practice. But I was very impressed with the wisdom of Tyler Lockett. And so let's just hear a couple of things. When they were asking about, you know, what are you seeing from Cam Ward? What are you trying to do to help Cam Ward? Which one are we going to hear first, David?
Helping Cam Ward.
All right, let's start with A, because you hear this all the time, a veteran wide receiver. How do you help a rookie quarterback? And I really liked Tyler Lockett's answer.
How are you able to help him kind of get into the National Football League and learn this league while also trying to be productive yourself at the same time?
I think the biggest thing, man, is just I'm just here if he needs me. You know, you don't want to talk too much. You don't want to talk too little. I do believe it's all about relationships and building chemistry, not only on the field but off the field. But, you know, you don't want to act like you know everything as the vet. You got to be able to listen and kind of like – learn how he sees the game, understand his feel of the game, and be able to adapt and find a middle ground on what he wants you to do, because ultimately he is the quarterback, right? So I think for me, obviously, you know, I think being able to come here, I think there is a variety of opportunities for a lot of players to be able to play at a high level, and I think that Cam is the quarterback to be able to get the job done for every person on this part of team. And so I'm excited. I think the biggest thing is every day we just got to be able to get better, grow, and be intentional. I think that's really a big word, is being intentional and not just being out here because this is what the schedule says.
I think that's a really good starting point of why they brought Tyler Lockett in. I was impressed with that answer, D-Mace, because he didn't give you know, some of the easy things it would have been to say, like, yeah, he's a rookie and I'm going to try to do this and that. I like that his answer was more, I want to get a feel for how he sees the game. And I also, like, now here's a guy that's been in the league for, what, 9 or 10 years, Tyler Lockett?
It's been 10, I think.
And he has learned a lot. But he wasn't, I love how he had the humility to say, we shouldn't act like we know everything, right? Mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm going to help him. But if I just go tell him that I know everything, that's not going to go over very well. So I sort of like that approach. I hope he's still got enough in the tank talent-wise to help on the field. But it does seem like, based on what he said there, that it's a really unique approach. I could see why they circled him as a guy they wanted on the team.
Yeah, I mean, when he was signed here, you knew as an organization you were not getting, from a play standpoint, you were not getting the Lockett that was, you know, the top or one of the top slot guys in the National Football League, a guy that was, you know, he had the ability to play the one if he needed it to, but he was the quintessential number two to DK Metcalf. He did all the dirty work underneath, but he could get deep. But now you know that he's not – that part of him is no longer there, but he's still good enough to help your team physically, but more importantly, he's good enough to help your team mentally, because what he's able to do is he's experienced a lot of things. He's, you know, they hadn't been in the Super Bowl with Lockett. Yeah, they did. They did go to the Super Bowl with Lockett. Was that his rookie year?
Well, they went to the back-to-back Super Bowls.
It was the other kid from here. The receiver from here. Went to Notre Dame. Why am I forgetting his name now?
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate was on that team, I believe.
Lockett was a rookie in 2015. Did they go to the Super Bowl that year? Was that the Tom Brady?
I think that was the Tom Brady
one. That was when they lost the Super Bowl after they had won the one before. They were obviously the Malcolm Butler interception away from winning two in a row.
So he's been sort of to the mountaintop, per se. So he's been there. He's experienced it. He has something tangible that he can bring to the team outside
I could be wrong about that. Was that the 2014 or 2015 season?
They had good teams.
He played for a lot of really good Seattle teams.
But what he brings is that knowledge. What he brings is working with a young quarterback, even though Russell Wilson was, you know, into the NFL at the time, but it ain't like Russell was in the NFL 8, 9, 10 years. They still were working through, you know, whatever. They had won a Super Bowl, went to another one, I believe, right before he got there, or that first year he was there. So there's things that he can bring to the table that I don't think the other receivers can. Him having to switch a quarterback after playing so long with one and then having to switch to another, that experience helped. You know, being with two different type of quarterbacks, whether it was Russell Wilson or the quarterback, last year's quarterback, Geno Smith. Geno Smith. Those guys were two different type of quarterbacks, and they led differently. So he's able to, you know, go to Cam and, you know, explain to him, you know, some of the different styles that he's learned.
Yeah.
Learn how to, to say that. But like he said, my job isn't really to come in here and tell you this is what you need to do. Unless you ask me, what was your experience like with these quarterbacks?
I'm an open book. I'm here.
Exactly. I can give you my experience. But I'm not here to tell you, no, do this. No, I'm here to say, what can I do to make your job easier? Hey, how do you want this route ran? I'm used to running it like this, but if you want me to run it a different way, I can, as long as I'm on the same page with you. It's what you want, because ultimately, what makes you feel comfortable? Receivers, the really good ones, they can work around whatever. It's what is it that is going to make you comfortable as a quarterback? Is it going to be running a slant like this, running it this way? You know, how do you want me to run it? Because it doesn't work if you don't feel comfortable.
Okay, now let's talk about the presence in the huddle. This is another thing that I was very interested in what he would say. Because Tyler Lockett, as you said, he's been on a lot of good teams. He's played with some good quarterbacks on a winning program. Here's what he had to say about Cam Ward's early leadership skills that he's seeing and his presence in the huddle so far.
How important is when we talk about he's got command of the huddle? I'm not in the huddle. You are. How important is that?
I mean, I think it's very important. I think the biggest thing that you want to see in a quarterback is confidence, and he does not lack that at all. He has confidence, and you got to have confidence, because when you're a quarterback, you never know if everything is going to go right or if everything is going to wrong. You got to be able to be steadfast and just be able to play and be calm. And the way that he plays, the way that he goes about everything, you could tell that he's a leader. He doesn't have to try to, like, force himself to be a leader. He's already a leader. And, you know, when he speaks, we listen. If he says, hey, we're about to do meetings, we go have meetings. So I think he's a phenomenal player, and it's crazy to even think that he's a rookie.
Right.
Just with the mentality that he has coming in.
The biggest thing I took out of that was the quote by Lockett, who should know what he's looking for here, that he's not trying to be a leader. He is a leader. Mm-hmm. And I do think, even though he's a rookie, I do think veterans can pick up on that, where sometimes it's forced. Like, you can tell a guy, he's trying. He knows he's supposed to be a leader. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to have presence in the huddle. But there seems to be a notion that he's got that. He, like, they knew, and that is what Lewis Riddick said. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people who evaluated Cam Ward said. In addition to the physical talents, that mental part of it, which it's hard to teach, right? You can grow into being a leader, but it comes natural for some people.
Yeah, to me, having the leadership qualities is, I think, is one thing. And I think it has. That's one of those things that's essential for a player that you want to be your leader, to have those qualities, those traits. And it seems like Cam has them. But the problem for a rookie, well, the learning curve for a rookie is this, and I think it's across sort of across the landscape of, you know, whether you're a leader at home or a leader at your job. How do I lead? Because these guys are different from the guys at the University of Miami. Those guys at the University of Miami were different from the guys at Washington State. Washington State was different from Incarnate Word. So I have the leadership qualities, but how do I lead? That's what Cam needs. That's what he's going to find out now. The leadership quality is in him. They know it. How do I lead grown men? Because a year ago I was leading teenagers, basically. I was leading 20-year-olds, guys that were on my level. You know, now I'm leading guys that are got families, you know, they got businesses. They're doing all these things. So now I got to find out, how do I lead? Because the majority of the people in the locker room are not my peers, my guys that I hang out with. They're older. A lot of them are older. So how do I lead guys that have already been in the NFL, that have already experienced it, that have already you know, been through or in the fire of an NFL season? How do I lead those guys? Now, because it's going to be totally different from how I led the guys at Miami. You know, now I got to learn how to. That's why you got to get to know people. That's why, you know, Lockett, the relationships. I think Ridley spoke of it too. The relationships are the things that you try to build. Cam talks about it all the time. I need to build relationships with these guys outside of football because I got to know how to lead them, because they are not the same guys that I was leading a year ago. Those guys, half of them, you know, still wet behind the ears. You know, they still got things dealing with their parents. It's just so many other things that they deal with that I had to lead based upon what I saw and what I was feeling. It's totally different now, because now you're dealing with grown men with grown family problems.
And with that in mind, here's a guy that's about to turn 33 that is saying, if he wants to call a meeting, I'll be at the meeting. I feel like he's getting the right messages across. He's tuning in. He's connecting with some of the veteran players. I don't think Tyler Lockett is just blowing smoke. You never know at this time of the year. But, you know, you try to read a guy. I was just impressed listening to Tyler Lockett. So that's one perspective from one of the veteran wide receivers. Then there was the throw on Saturday. They got everybody's attention. And I'll always remember Jeff Fisher, Chris Johnson's rookie year. CJ2K. And in practice, you know, like you said, when it's not pads and it's not live, you always have to try to gauge, was that legit? Like, somebody makes a play, it's like, how would that have been in a real game? Because it's a simulation, right? Until you get out there with pads and tackling, you don't know. But there were a lot of plays that a lot of us in training camp were seeing, and we were asking Jeff Fisher, hey, he just scored on that play. And so Jeff Fisher was asking his coaches, would he have scored in a game like that? Like, and the answer was, yeah.
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 A lot.
Because he was doing these things, and you're eye-popping. You're like, is this real? Is this real? And that was a play where you kind of asked, could he do that in a game? And, you know, you could get some varying things. Well, you know, the rush wasn't live, and it wasn't practiced. But it was a really good display of what he is capable of doing. And then you're like, well, in the game, that could be intercepted. Or if he did that again, it could be intercepted the next three times. Okay, we know. But let's ask the wide receiver, right? So TD had a really good interview with Calvin Ridley, who caught that pass, just about the throw in particular.
A good example of that timing that you mentioned when Ward, he was scrambling to the left, and you kind of turned your route up, and he unleashed the bomb, and you went and got it. Is that something that really came from the chemistry that you guys are developing?
See that touch he had on it?
Yeah.
He give me time to run under it.
Yeah.
He give me, it's easy catches. So that's what I love about him. It's not you know, hard catches. He had some touch. He let me run right under it, and it was soft. So, man, that's all the receiver ever wanted, man.
How would you describe the excitement level? I mean, you hear these fans are going crazy for you, obviously, but for Cam as well.
Yeah, man. Man, when we picked him, man, it feels different around here. You know, it feels in the building, it feels like just really because of him. That first pick, when we got him and it was him, man, it just feels crazy, honestly. It feels good, you know, that we got a good quarterback. He's confident, and we got to keep him confident and protect him because he's special.
Okay, so there you have it. So let's run this through the wide receiver translator and get, because he said a lot there. He said a lot there.
Wide receiver translator.
Okay, and so D-Mace is running it through the translator as we speak, mm-hmm. but he's got a lot to say. His eyes lit up when he was listening to that quote, and that was a great little interview with TD because you could – even if you didn't listen to a word of what he said, you could sense an excitement mm-hmm. with Calvin Ridley that I think is very, very noticeable. So when we come back, we'll break it down. Let's see what the wide receiver says about what these guys are experiencing so far with Cam Ward. Stay tuned. You're listening to the DVD here on 102.5 The Game. And let me remind you that DVD is presented by Bet365, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365.
How would you describe the excitement level? I mean, you hear these fans are going crazy for you, obviously, but for Cam as well.
Yeah, man. Man, when we picked him, man, it feels different around here. You know, it feels in the building, it feels like just really because of him. That first pick, when we got him and it was him, man, it just feels crazy, honestly. It feels good, you know, that we got a good quarterback. He's confident, and we got to keep him confident and protect him because he's special.
Wide receiver translator.
We're back here on DVD, and we're getting D-Mace's perspective. Just listening to Tyler Lockett and Calvin Ridley, who are observing Cam Ward as a rookie, and some of the encouraging things that they're seeing, and trying to keep in mind that it is training camp. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of optimism. Nobody's lost a game yet. You know, it's hard to screw up this early. But the early things that people are saying are worth noting. It's that's why also we're trying to put it through the filter of the wide receiver translator. But you were impressed with what Lockett said. I really tuned into him. But D-Mace, you were really curious about that interview, the short interview that Calvin Ridley did there. So what did you see?
Yeah, I mean, it was giddy, to say the least. That's what it was. And I explained to you, like, it was like meeting that girl that you, after that date, you come home and your boy say, how did it go? And you just can't find the words, or you find a whole bunch of words, and you're sitting there giddy, and your cheeks are rosy red, and you got this big Chester cheese smile on your face, and you're just talking about this girl like, man, she is the greatest, man. Boy, I've never met anyone like her. When I first saw her, we got to talking, man, I knew she was the one. Man, D, I'm going to marry her, man. This is my lady. That is how Ridley was talking about Cam Ward. The enthusiasm, the passion, the giddiness, the sort of, it was almost like he was infatuated with Cam Ward. And again, you didn't hear that from no one. And I repeat, no one outside of the owner.
Not on that level.
Not on that level.
They were encouraged about Will Levis.
Yes, they were encouraged about things. Yes.
They always, like we said, in training camp, mm-hmm. people are never going to slam the quarterback. It's just, just like in hockey, you just will not ever hear
the goalie.
Somebody slam the goalie. They're not going to do it.
Exactly.
They're not going to do it.
So when you,
but this was going above and beyond.
Yeah,
right?
this was like, I met that girl. Like this is my like. I'm marrying her. Everybody else, see ya. Don't want to be ya. I'm marrying that girl right there. That's how Calvin Ridley, his adjectives were toward Cam Ward. It was just like, wow, we finally, like, the best looking, the smartest, the most intelligent, everything woman just walked through the door, and I talked to her, and she likes me, and I like her. I'm going to marry her. That's Calvin Ridley. We met. She liked me. I like her. I'm marrying her. This is my quarterback. He's my quarterback. This is Terrell Owens and Donovan.
He's talking
Tony
about,
Romo.
We have to protect him. Exactly. We have to, like, when
and
they
he emphasized
him,
that.
Yeah.
He emphasized we have to protect him. This, you might as well put this man in a bubble wrap right now. Right now. That's, and listen, it may be, some may think it's too much, and I get it. Considering what we have experienced the last 3 years, really in particular last year with Will Levis, I understand the hesitancy of the fan base. And I understand where some are going to make this like, oh, here we go again. They are, just so infatuated with a quarterback and saying all these great things. He's not going to do anything but bomb. That was that guy. This is a different guy. He said it feels different around here. They didn't say that about Will Levis. They didn't say that about him. They didn't say it feels different around him. With Cam Ward, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you may think it's just, pumping other tires and sunshines and roses and they're always being positive, whether you think that or not, it's what those guys in that room think. And if you got a veteran guy saying, man, a guy that got to catch passes from him, saying, man, we got to do whatever we need to do to protect this guy because he's that guy that's going to get us where we want to go.
I want to hit on one aspect of the mechanical part of this, just the logistics of specifically catching passes for him, because I've been hearing a theme. Tyler Lockett called his different deliveries like a baseball pitcher, right? Mm-hmm. You heard, and maybe we'll play it at some point, but our interview with Lewis Riddick, if you have not listened to it, and we've given you some chances to do it, but I would recommend if you haven't, really listen to what he says because he gives you great detail. If you're one of those people that's out there that says, oh, Lewis Riddick compared Cam Ward to Patrick Mahomes, he gives you a lot of why and specifics of what he's talking about. And so that was something that Riddick noted. Right, he can make all these throws from different angles. Not everybody can do that. But what Ridley said about that one play that everybody was buzzing about on Saturday was, it wasn't, hey, he ran one way, threw back the other, you're not supposed to do that. It wasn't about that. It was like, did you see how he threw it to where I could go run under it? Mm-hmm. What do you think that tells you about the passes he's been thrown before?
Yeah, well, we saw it. We saw it in real time. And when... Again,
he was saying he's got touch. Yeah, he's got he's got these traits, right? It's like you're saying you're talking about the girl, yeah, right? That you were impressed with. She's got this. She's got that. He got specific about that pass, mm-hmm, and it wasn't like, hey, did you see how his arm strength? Yeah. It was specifics about that. I like hearing that.
And because they never truly experienced that last year, and when everybody was saying, not everybody, but there was a group of people saying, oh, it doesn't, they'll get the timing down, don't worry about it, those D balls, they'll get the timing down, they'll be fine. Did they ever get the timing down on those D balls? No, they didn't. Not consistently, they didn't. So either a lot of times it was underthrown or overthrown. But when he starts to talk about Cam, it's like, man, he led me up the field. It was a perfect pass. It was a soft pass to catch.
Because what has Ridley been accused of sometimes? Dropping passes.
Dropping passes.
But it does matter how the ball comes in there. It can help somebody if the ball is softer or if the catch is made easier. Now, mm-hmm, we'll see how this works when they start playing. But I do think you could tell in Ridley's voice, uh-huh, that, hey, this guy is going to help me be better.
Yeah,
it seems like
there are catchable balls and there are balls that are not catchable. I think part of Will Levis's troubles last year, he never knew when to take a little off. He didn't have that accuracy and that touch that you needed consistently. Now, I'm not saying that Will Levis would never develop that, but he didn't have it last year, and it showed a lot of times. What you're hearing now and what you're sort of seeing now is that touch, knowing to throw it up the field, especially when you're throwing it to throwing it across. You never want to lead that thing because you don't know what that backside corner is doing. You never want to leave it short or in the field, sort of in the field of play. You want to throw it to that. If I'm running, let's just say I'm the way the stadium is. If I'm running north, that ball, and I'm running a corner route to that far pylon or the near pylon, that ball should be on my left hand. It should be more in my left hand, people, if y'all can really visualize this. It should be more on my left hand, which means it should be closer to that back pylon than that front pylon, because now if it's on my front pylon, if there's a corner over there, he's more than likely can get the ball. But if I throw it to my left hand, my left shoulder, he's going to put me more so up the field, and I got to run underneath it. That's what Calvin Ridley was saying. He didn't throw it short. He threw it so I can run underneath it and allow me to adjust to the ball. The ball didn't have to just adjust to me. That's what players want. I want to be able to adjust to the football. Those are easy passes. I don't want the football to have to sort of adjust to me. In a sense, mm-hmm. sometimes you may have to throw it in there when the hole is short. But when you're talking about passes like that, I want to be able to adjust to the ball on that particular route rather the other way around. And those balls, whether they are, you know when to throw the ball hard. You know when to put some air under it. You know when to put it there right on the money. That was something that Will Levis struggled at last year. A lot of it we saw down the field plays where they just couldn't connect in the game. I think if Calvin Ridley's open now in the game, and that is if those plays are now this season, I think Cam Ward connects with him more than Will Levis did last year.
And remember, look.
But he has to catch the ball. He still has to catch the ball. Yeah. That's been his problem.
I'm also not having a pep rally because I will be reminded, I'm sure, but I will continue to own up to there's still so much riding on this decision for Cam Ward. It's early. I'm not here to hype him up too much because I did think that it was better to trade the pick and get the extra picks. But I have to say, I am noticing what they're saying about him so far. It's extremely early. And as we talked about at the top of the show, we're now going to go into a different, the next level, and that is in pads. Can he do the same type of things? I've asked you this before, too, about the different release points. Mm-hmm. Right? There are some quarterbacks who I think were taught, especially before the era of Patrick Mahomes started, that you always repeat the same delivery. You don't try to throw sidearm. You don't try to throw, at 12 o'clock one and then 10 o'clock for another. Mm-hmm. But there are quarterbacks that have now grown up watching Patrick Mahomes throw from all angles, and quarterbacks that are now saying, hey, I think I can do that. And Ward would fit into that category, right? So what does that do for the receiver when you're catching a pass that's coming from a different arm slot every so often?
I think in practice, that's where you get used to the different type of arm throws, whether it be sidearm, underneath, jumping up, throwing the ball, throwing it on the rope. You get comfortable and familiar with the angles that he likes to throw. And I think people, y'all got to understand, when people talk about Cam Ward, when, whether you be Lewis Reddick or anyone else, or even those that are on this show, when we talk about Cam Ward and his ability to throw the football and it sort of reminiscent of a Patrick Mahomes, it's not that we're saying, again, that he's like Patrick Mahomes. We're not saying that. And I think even though you tell people that's not what I'm saying, they still want to believe that's what you're saying. I'm not Lewis Reddick, myself, or anybody else, we're not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick Mahomes, and I think it started with Steve Young back in the day, because Steve Young, he wasn't a tall guy, even Drew Brees. When you're not that tall guy in stature, you got to find other ways to get the – Doug Flutie is a perfect example. Doug Flutie was 5'10", but because his ability to have different angles with his throws, he was able to get the ball through.
Yeah.
So – this just didn't start now with Patrick Mahomes. I can go back, to Steve Young. I can go back to, quarterbacks that have done it, the shorter quarterbacks, Drew Brees, guys like that have done it. and had to change their arm angles because of the lack of being 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". Marino didn't have to do that. Peyton Manning didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady didn't have to do that. Why? Because they were on par with the offensive linemen that were in front of them, or sometimes even taller. So when you have a guy like Cam Ward and Patrick Mahomes, even though Patrick Mahomes is, I think, 6'3", they still give you that, that arm angle is what we are comparing. I'm not comparing him to Patrick Mahomes. Oh, he's going to win five championships, this and that. He's going to be one. No, I'm comparing the arm angle, talent, how they throw the ball. Just because you throw the ball that way and have those angles doesn't mean you're going to be that guy. But he has those traits, those characteristics of a Patrick Mahomes. Will he be Patrick? I don't know. I hope he is. But when you have a guy like that, I think as a receiver, the more and more you see it, the more and more you practice with it, it becomes second nature to you, to him. So when you don't see him amongst the trees in front of him, the ball is still going to get you. Get to you, it may come to you at a different angle, and now you know that.
And this is what Riddick tried to explain when he was talking about, you know, the notion, the comparison to Mahomes. It's mm-hmm. He says it's a stylistic one.
Yes.
But there are some traits, and these are the specific things that I wrote down from what he said. I went back through the interview because there's so much detail in an insight that he gave us on a lot of different fronts. But he said what he likes too is beyond the mechanics, the different arm angles, right? Mm-hmm. Is that he's unfazed. He's got the short memory. And this is going to be something we're watching for in the when he starts throwing the ball down the field and he makes some mistakes, which he will. Mm-hmm. The short memory and then learning from it, that'll be something to watch. But there is a notion, a character trait that he seems to have that he never feels like you can't make this play. You know, and so that's where he's got to balance it with the mechanics of the offense, the system, take the short gains, all of that. But he likes that in him, that you feel like, you know, one quarterback might look and say, ah, that play's not there. He has that mentality. I can make that throw. I can get that ball there. The things that you can't coach. And then, obviously, the leadership part is the other one that he really likes from Riddick. And the last one that I thought was interesting is his ability as a runner. And that's what we're going to have to watch to see how it looks when you actually see it on the pro level. He said he's not a runner that is like somebody who piles up a lot of rushing yards. The extreme example, of course, is Lamar Jackson. You know, he's going to rush for 1,000 yards. And there's other quarterbacks that are going to pile up rushing yards. Josh Allen, you know, they're, you know who they are, Jalen Hurts. He said that Ward is not that type, but he can run well enough. And this is another parallel to Mahomes, that when you need to get a few yards, he knows how to find the sticks type of thing. He can elude the rush, and he runs well enough that you have to, he's going to keep you honest there. And there's been a lot of plays where you can picture in your mind Mahomes making a play where you're like, man, they had him. It looked like it was over. He was done. But he found a way to get the 5 yards by scrambling, extending the play, and then just find a way to move the chains.
Yeah, and that's more so in the line of Cam Ward. Even, you know, you go back to the play. And listen, I understand there were no pads and everything else. I get it. It was just practice. But you saw him escape the pocket, for those who saw it. If you haven't saw it, you can go on the Twitters or the X's.
Right, the Adam Vingan.
Not your X, right. But the app.
The Adam Vingan slow motion perfect
yes,
rep.
Absolutely. So yeah. You'll go and you go there and you'll see, you know, that pass that people are talking about. But I just, you know, Cam, I think he has something there. And, you know, I don't want to make too much of the other day's practice, because I know that things can change very quickly, especially once they put on a pass. But when you saw him, you know, escape the pocket, that was what he's going to do in a game. That exact thing that you saw in practice is what he will do, and I'm just talking about how he escapes. he will escape like that. He will have an opportunity to throw a pass like he threw the other day. So he's not going to be looking to run the football. He will if he had to, I'm sure, and he will gain a yardage that needs to be gained at times. But I think he's more so like Patrick Mahomes and like Lamar Jackson now, even though Lamar still runs. They want to beat you from the pocket. They want to buy enough time so their receiver can get open and then deliver the ball.
We're going to see if the hype continues, but there's so far, Cam Ward is not disappointed from the feedback we're getting from people that we're really tuned into, and that's the coaches, the analysts, and his teammates. So when we come back, don't forget this. TD, Teron Davenport, is going to join us at 1 o'clock. We probably will mention the Mets have won 7 games in a row. We probably will mention that. It will not dominate. We'll talk a lot about the Titans and some of the other issues, Treylon Burks' injury, all of that. We'll get TD's perspective on that. When we come back, we do want to hit you with a couple of stories that have hit this morning, one involving Deion Sanders, another one involving a baseball situation with Emmanuel Clase, a gambling, the G word. You knew it was just a matter of time, but not good news for the Cleveland Guardians. And also the Big Ten media days were last week. And boy, there were some interesting things said over there in Las Vegas. We'll talk about that when we come back, too. So we're going to take a little change of pace. We'll get back to our Titans discussion at 1 o'clock with TD. Stay tuned. You're listening to DVD. Hey, join 102.5 The Game at the Holiday Inn Nashville Airport this Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. for the Dude Perfect-inspired open house. We'll be on site giving away Dude Perfect tickets and Nashville Sounds family four-packs, plus games, prizes, and body armor. So, make sure you join us on Sunday. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, DVD. Teron Davenport, going to join us at 1 o'clock. We'll talk some Titans with him. A couple other things that are going on here. Deion Sanders has just come out, and he has announced that he has undergone surgery to remove his bladder after doctors discovered a tumor there. Sanders said since the surgery, there are no traces of cancer, and he will continue to coach this season. Of course, Deion has had a lot of health issues. He's had some blood clot issues in his legs. He had two toes amputated 3 years ago, and he had an emergency surgery in June of 2023 to treat the blood clots, including one in his thigh and several below his knee in his other leg. So our thoughts are with Deion here as he moves forward, because we know the stresses and, you know, everything that coaching does that can age you quicker. And so he's dealing with a lot over there.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, I pray that all the cancer's gone. You know, it just seems like he's been, like you say, you listed some of his ailments. So I hopefully with this one, that they've gotten it all, it seems like they have, and he's able to go back and live his life and continue to coach. So, you know, he has. I'm sure when that, you know, when something like that happens, you start to, you know, question some things. So I just hope everything continues to be good on his front.
Yeah, and, it you know, just the grind of a season, you know, how stressful that is and with some health issues. And, you know, for the first time, he doesn't have – Shador,
yeah.
So this is going to be something we'll be watching very closely. So we wish Deion well. Another big, big story in baseball, and this is always what you fear in any sport. You just cringe because the wave, and look, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. The gambling that has been legalized, it has become everyday language. We know this is a part of it. It's built in. But the reason for so many decades that people and leagues stayed away from it is the fear that some games, you would lose the perception that the game is on the level. And so far, so good. But you do wonder in the coming years what we're going to see here. And the latest one is with Cleveland Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase, a great pitcher. If you're not a huge baseball fan, Emmanuel Clase is one of the better closers in the game the last 3, 4, 5 seasons. He hasn't had a great year this year, and he has been the subject of a lot of trade rumors. But Today, he was placed on the non-disciplinary paid leave through August 31st as a part of Major League Baseball's investigation into sports gambling. So this is the second Guardians pitcher to be caught up in the inquiry. A lesser pitcher, but a good one, Luis Ortiz, is also on this same paid leave. So it doesn't really get into what is going on specifically. But this is a three-time All-Star, and in the immediate future, with the trade deadline coming up on Thursday, the Guardians probably aren't going to get a whole lot of offers for Emmanuel Clase if they were thinking about trading him. They're right on the fence of whether they're in the playoff race or not. But D-Mace, this is always, I'm sure all commissioners, all leagues are looking and saying, every day that goes by, you don't hear this, you know, a scandal of a player involved in some way connected with gambling is a good day, because it's so easy to get caught up in it now.
Yeah,
with the amount of money being bet legally everywhere.
Yeah, and listen, we've had our share of guys, you know, getting suspended. Or
Calvin Ridley,
even though he wasn't, you know, with a Titan, he wasn't a Titan player at the time. He's here now, and he had to deal with his suspension. Then we saw Nicholas PT. He go through his, you know, suspension for gambling. This is, and like you said, Willie, each day that passes that you don't hear about an individual, you know, being suspended or allegations about, you know, a guy or girl gambling is a good day, because the two are so closely linked together. It's hard. The lines may sometimes get blurred. Like for PT, the lines got blurred for him because it wasn't that he bet. It was that he bet, I believe, if I understood, he bet on NFL grounds, right? Was that PT's thing?
Yes,
right.
That's what it was.
So the lines are blurred. Exactly. It's not a clear cut, what are you thinking?
Exactly.
He went right to the casino and like, bet on the Guardians, mm-hmm. bet on me, you know. But what's starting to happen is these subtle things.
Exactly.
For Petit Frere, he probably didn't get the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ridley, we know what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
So for this, and this is a growing concern, I think, with the gambling, is the what they call micro bets,
mm-hmm.
right? With all the props, where a player in any sport, mm-hmm. probably, if you really think about it, you could come up with schemes where you could, just for one pitch or one shot or one play, one throw, affect a bet by just saying, well, I'm gonna do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna throw a ball on this pitch. I'm gonna hit two batters or something. And it's implied in here that maybe Clase was caught up with that
mm-hmm.
in some way. Here's what Rob Manfred had to say. There are certain types of bets that strike me as unnecessary and particularly vulnerable. I know there was a lot of sports betting, tons of it went on illegally before all these rules, and we had no idea. No idea what threats there were to the integrity of play because it was not transparent. I firmly believe that transparency and monitoring that we have in place now as a result of the legalization puts us in a better position to find these things out. But this investigation, which started June 27th from IC360, a firm that monitors betting markets for abnormalities, are unclear. Sportsbook and gambling operators were alerted after a spike in action on, this is the other pitcher for the Guardians, Ortiz, his first pitch in the bottom of the second inning against the Mariners and in the top of the third inning against the Cardinals, according to sources. In both cases, unusual amounts of money were wagered on those particular pitches, being a ball or hits batsman. So you see what I'm saying? Like, the pitcher is probably like, I'm not trying to lose the game, it's just one pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But he could win somebody or lose somebody a lot of money on... You hit a batter like the 19.
It's just like with Jonte Porter. He like messed up on some over unders. Like he had the over under of rebounds or something like that, and he would like make sure to get the over, and then like get right out and sub right out.
Yeah. So these are just little things where players like, I'm not really doing anything to affect the game, but.
But you are.
It's not good.
Yeah, because that just...
You're trying to stay under the radar, but it just shows you the temptation of getting involved
mm-hmm.
in this and where it could go, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it is. And I think every sport understands it because, again, there are some things we know that are black and white. There's no, but then there are some things that are gray. Like, well, I can still bet, but can I be on, I know now I can't be on NFL grounds nowhere. Like, wherever there's an NFL function, if they ask you to go do a speech at a middle school, you can't bet at that middle school. Why? Because it's a function that the Tennessee Titans or any other team, they are affiliated with. So you can't even do it then. So there are some that are black and white, but then I think there are some that you have to be careful, because it's not that you can't bet. It's just that you better make sure that you are nowhere near NFL
you can't affect the game that you're playing. That is still taboo. So I do wonder what the penalty, if it's, you know, when they are done with this investigation, will ultimately be for these two pitchers, what they find out. Because, you know, Pete Rose used to always say, well, I only bet on my team to win. What's wrong with that? You know, but if you really think about it, there's still a lot of questions that ask that do affect the times that you don't bet as opposed to the times that you do bet. And then these little things. Well, I just, you know, one pitch, two pitches, that's all I did. I wasn't trying to lose the game. But wait a minute. One pitch could be a big difference in a game. Yeah. All of these things. Like, the integrity is in play here. The integrity is in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, just keep that in the just file that away as we move forward in this investigation here. When we come back, TD is going to join us, and we'll talk Titans with him and a little bit of the Mets. They've won seven in a row.
Just a little bit.
Let's go. Let's go, Mets. LGM. Stay tuned. This is DVD rolling on to hour number three.